You know, I love seeing everybody gather at fellowship time or greeting time, and just how much you enjoy one another, spending time greeting one another. It's great. I think the only thing better is hearing you all sing out during worship. Today I felt like turning around and saying, who is here? There's so many voices singing. So have you ever had an experience where you know without a shadow of a doubt that God moved in your life and then found yourself in a position of needing God, of needing His deliverance, His blessing, or His protection, and you find yourself doubting that God is going to come through for you? Have you ever seen God move in His amazing, miracle, God Almighty ways, and the next time you find yourself in need of rescuing, rather than trusting God for the victory and praising Him, you find yourself wondering, is God going to come through for me? Oftentimes in our walks of faith, we experience highs and lows, victories, and then seasons of doubt and question. And that's where I believe we find Abram, in our text today. Last week, Rick shared how Abram found his nephew Lot is one of many who had been captured by these four kings that had battled against the five other kings. So Abram takes 318 of his men, and God gives him the victory over the four kings. He rescues those captured of the five kingdoms. He meets Melchizedek, who blesses Abram, in chapter 13:20, says, "And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands." And that's where we pick up our story today. Let's bow our hearts. Father God, you are so amazing. We thank you for all that you do, and we thank you for these times in Scripture, Lord, that we can look at and evaluate our lives and how you moved around them and how you move around us, Lord. So I pray this morning, Lord, that you would open our minds and open our hearts. Help us to see what it is that you have for us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 15 opens. It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and the member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he will be brought, and he brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven and number the stars if you are able. And he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." So as chapter 15 opens, I think Abram was looking out and kind of expecting some reprisal from the kings that he had just conquered. I picture him looking out over the land and seeing all that he owns, scanning the horizon and expecting to see the kings of those he conquered coming for him. He must have been thinking, I basically just punched four kings in the nose. I've made five other kings look bad by showing them up with 318 of my men. And the one king that showed any gratitude, the one kingdom that might have helped me, I insulted by turning down his gifts. Surely one or more of these kingdoms are planning to come pay back. But verse 1 says, "The angel of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great." A shield is a military weapon that is used primarily for protection. So in essence, God is saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your protector." And this is the first time in Scripture that God says, fear not. It said that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day. I'd like to say I learned that from my deep study of God's Word, but I actually saw it flipping through Instagram one day. So the angel of the Lord says, I am your shield, and your reward will be very great. And Abram's response to God was rather daring. He says, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no offspring. So Abram's response to God, he's saying, where's my reward? I have all this stuff, and it's all meaningless if I don't have a son to pass it on to. As it is, I'll be leaving all my wealth to a servant. If Abram had a Bible, he would have flipped through the pages and said, look, in Genesis 12:2, you said I'd be a great nation. In verse 7, you said, here's all this land for my offspring. In 13, you said, my offspring would be countless. I'm an old man. I don't even have a son yet. So Abram's saying, I believe in you. I believe you are. I believe you are mighty. I believe you are able. But I'm just not seeing it. I'm not doubting that you can. I'm just not seeing your promises materializing in my life right now. Have you ever felt that way? Abram was looking for the fulfillment of God's promises based on his calendar. Abram wants to take the promises of God and dictate when he thinks it's best for things to happen. But we know that God's timing and our time, when we think God should move, are often not the same. Isaiah 55:9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. 2 Peter 3 says, God's time is not the same as our time. So in verse 4 says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So God says to Abram, he says, Abe, Eliezer is not your heir. I'm telling you, I'm going to bless your socks off. And he invites Abram out to look at the night sky and says, your offspring will be as many as the stars in the sky. Have you ever been out in the wilderness and just looked up at the stars and just the whole sky looks like the Milky Way? It just scattered. That must have been what Abram saw. And Scripture says that Abram believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Abram was at a point where he said, Lord, I'm not seeing it. I don't understand, but I will trust you. I believe in your word. I believe you will do as you say. And God credited Abram's belief to him as righteousness. The world sees righteousness as being good. Having your good outweigh your bad. Following religious obligations. But God sees Abram's faith in him and says, you are righteous. Abram believes even though he wasn't seen. And so it is with us when we place our faith in Christ. Genesis 15:7 says, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you the land to possess. And he said, Abram says, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? So Abram follows up this great proclamation of his faith with more confusion and question. God, how? When, Lord? I trust you, but I'm just not seeing your promises come to pass. I believe you are, I believe you can, but remember the father in Mark 9? who brought a son to Jesus for healing. And Jesus says, everything is possible for those who believe. And the father replied, I believe, Lord, but help me in my unbelief. So God says to Abram, verse 9, he says, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he brought all these, and he cut them in half, and he laid them over half. He laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. So Abram is not directing, God is not directing Abram to offer sacrifices here. God is speaking in terms of Abram that Abram understands. In our day, when we sign a contract with someone, we sign a document swearing that we will honor the agreement mentioned in it. As a general contractor, I have my customers and I sign contracts. It's a long document, and both parties sign that we agree to the certain terms, and then we have it notarized. And when we get married, we sign a certificate, and we swear an oath. In Abram's day, if you swore an oath to one another, you would cut animals in half, creating an aisle. And between them, each one of you would walk between these mutilated animals, which meant that if I don't keep my word, may I be cut off and mutilated like these animals. And so we see next, God makes his oath to Abram, reiterating his promises that he made to him. And God says, you won't believe, I will keep my word, so let me show you in your terms that you understand. Jeremiah 34 mentions this same type of covenant. I encourage you to look it up in your personal time in God's word. Genesis goes on. It says, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there. They will be afflicted for 400 years, but I will bring judgment on that nation that they serve. And afterward they shall come out with great possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. So God tells Abram again, I'm going to bless you, and you will have a multitude of offspring. And there are going to be times when things are tough for them. Life will be hard, but I will be with them. I will bless them, and they will take possession of the land that I've promised would belong to them. And this is where it gets good. Starting in verse 17, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying to your offspring, I will give this land from the river to the Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the land of the Canaanites, the Kezanites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So after giving his word, we see God ratifying this covenant with Abram. Abram struggles to see the promises of God, so God makes it clear to him, and he appears as a smoking pot and a flaming torch. And he passes through the animals that were cut off, which is saying to Abram, if I don't keep my word, if I don't keep my end of the deal, may I be like these animals. May I be cut off and mutilated. And here's the amazing part. As I mentioned, to ratify the covenant, it was standard practice for both parties to pass down the aisle. But here we see that only God passed down the aisle. In essence, he's saying, if I don't keep my word, may I be torn apart and cut off. And if you don't keep your end of the covenant, may I be cut off and mutilated like these animals. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it just like God in His grace and His mercy that He shows each one of us in Christ? It reminds me of Isaiah 53:8, speaking of the suffering servant. It says, "By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished." And so God gives his word to Abram that he will keep his word, and that all the land of all the ites would belong to his offspring. We can be like Abe. It's easy to look at Abram and others in Scripture and think, how can you not believe God when he's telling you of all of his promises, of what he has done for you? But if we can be honest, we're the same way. God's word is full of promises to those that love him, to those that believe him and follow him. And how often are we just like Abram and tell God, "I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are. I believe you can. But I'm just not seeing it. I hear you. I'm reading your words. But where are your promises?" It's easy to memorize some scripture, but it's another thing to stand on those promises when we fear and anxiety creeps in, when temptation and our flesh battles to control our minds. It's hard to stand on the promises when we feel the waves crashing down around us. But we know one who calms the storms. And so I want to encourage you this morning that God's word and his promises are true. If God says it, so it shall be. I like that saying that says, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. 2 Corinthians says, "For no matter how many promises God made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." And that's what amen means. It means, so shall it be. It's a statement of faith closing out our prayers of petition to God. God's promises to us are true, and we can trust his word. Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you." These are the promises that we need to stand on. Psalm 55, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." Proverbs 3:25, have no fear of sudden disaster or of ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared." There will be times in our life where we aren't seeing the promises of God, but we're not tangibly seeing the promises. Or like Abram waiting for the promise of his son, wanting God's promise now in our time when we think we need it most. You may be struggling, waiting for healing. Maybe worries about work or a relationship. I want to encourage you to trust in God's word. God's words are true. All of his promises are yes. And God's time is always the right time, even when we don't see it. We have to believe it and stand firm. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." When we believe in God's word, even when we aren't seeing it in our situations, when circumstances are telling us to doubt, When we trust Him and we place our trust in Christ, He sees us as righteous. God is so good. He will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. So again, I just want to encourage you to trust God's word. He is so true and His promises are always yes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for who You are and how much You love us, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we, each one of us, go our way through our lives this week, that You would remind us as we face doubt and confusion and fear, that You would remind us that Your promises are yes for us, Lord, that You love us and You care for us, and what You say You will do. We just thank You, we praise You, we worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.